Walker Buehler grew up in Lexington, Kentucky with dreams of becoming a Major League Baseball player. In 2012, Walker was drafted to the Major Leagues but decided to stay committed to Vanderbilt University and ended up winning a College World Series in 2014. A year later, Walker was drafted to the Los Angeles Dodgers and became a member of the 2020 World Series Championship team. On this episode of the Carlos Watson Show podcast, Walker Buehler recalls the moment he knew he would make it in the majors, what the dynamic in the Dodgers clubhouse is like, and how he met his fiance.
Hey, Walker.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I was watching a nice hometown thing with you where you went back to Lexington and you were showing folks around Henry Clay High School. That was that looked a little bit fun there.
Yeah, it was cool. That's good stuff, man.
Has Henry Clay given us some other good athletes in addition to you?
A few, yeah. Colin Cowgill played in the major leagues. He went there. We had a set of brothers, the Boyd brothers. One of them played in the NFL for a while. The other played at UK. Shane Boyd was a backup quarterback for a while. But, yeah, we've had a few.
Nice, nice. And did you do you guys have any football players in Lexington? Or you guys must have a lot of basketball players, I assume, just in the area. There must have been a lot of basketball.
Actually, you know what's funny about that? UK hasn't had a player from Lexington since the late 70s. So we have like no good basketball. Yeah. The only guy that's been any good was Sheldon Mack that played at Butler and then in the NBA for a bit, but no Wildcat.
Interesting. Wait, now why do you think that is? Why? Because you would think that like being in the shadow of it, you guys would end up getting someone good. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think first off, I don't remember anyone being big enough or good enough. So, like, I don't think it's necessarily the coaches, like, not – like, they found them, but they're not – you know, they're not there. It's weird. We had a guy named Kari Johnson that moved to Lexington in, like, the eighth grade that ended up playing at UK, but he's the closest thing we've had.
Now, what about you? Do you have any basketball game or no?
No, I'm pretty terrible. I had a growth spurt. I was okay for a little bit, and then I had a growth spurt and lost, like, all the coordination. So I ended up being a really bad church league basketball player.
Okay. I haven't heard of church league in a while. That is a good one. Now, any other sports, or were you, like, clearly a baseball guy all the way through? I mean, I saw that you were always good at baseball, but did you have any other loves in terms of sports, or was baseball always your thing?
No, I mean, I played a little bit of everything. I wasn't very good at football. I think I got started a little late. I was never tough enough to play, really. Basketball, I played everything until about the eighth grade and then flipped over to just play baseball, but played a lot of golf. I never played any kind of organized golf, but my dad and I play a lot, so that's probably my second favorite, I guess.
Nice, nice. And when did you know you were going to make it? When did you know that you were a guy who was going to get to play professional baseball?
The day you get drafted, man, you never really know. It's kind of a weird deal. You know, you go through college and high school and deal with the draft and scouts and all that stuff. But, you know, until you actually get drafted, I remember everyone telling me, oh, you're going to go, you know, in the first round. And I'm like, okay, great. And then I went 24th. And for 23 picks, I thought I was never going to get drafted. You know, it's kind of a weird emotional roller coaster, right? But no, I mean, you just try and do what you can. And you never know you're going to get to the big leagues until you get called up. To be honest with you, it's kind of the most nerve-wracking part, I guess, kind of waiting.
Now, did you ever have a moment? Because I felt like you were always a hot prospect. Was there ever a moment where you were like, ah, I'm struggling here. I may be one of those guys who's like a career minor leaguer, or, you know, you always felt like you didn't know when, but you knew you were going to get to the majors.
Yeah, a little bit of both. I think probably the biggest doubt, you know, time that I was doubting it a lot, I had surgery right after I got drafted. So I was drafted and then didn't play for an entire year, 12 months, or I guess it was 367 days from the day I had surgery until the day I actually threw a professional pitch. So that year was kind of a tough one. You know, it got better at the end. I started getting to throw and throwing hard and feeling good about what I was doing. And then I remember my first triple A outing, I gave up four runs and didn't get an out, and they pulled me out because I had thrown too many pitches. So That was a tough one. You know, you get called up, you've got a whole new set of teammates, and then you basically screw them. You know, you give up four runs, and then you can't even get out of the inning. And the bullpen guy's got to cover for you. So those were probably the two that I was the most concerned about, I guess.
Now, were you intimidated when you came up to the big leagues, given that you had Kershaw and everyone around you? Or were you like, this is what I was born for? Were you more Kobe, or were you more, I don't know who else? Were you more Steph Curry, where you were kind of like, you know, I'm not sure if I'm made to be here yet?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, my first month in the major leagues, I was in the bullpen, had some really bad outings, and you kind of question. I always thought I thought I was ready for this. I don't know, you know, what am I not good at? I thought I was good at everything. So, you know, things kind of turned around once the next season came and I got to start and kind of do what I'd always done. But that first September was tough for me for sure.
And any interesting things that you developed once you got to the major, like Steve Nash, now the coach, former basketball player, told me that when he got drafted originally, he was on a team with Jason Kidd and other really good people. And he realized that the competition was so high that he had to do things differently. And the biggest thing he said he did differently was he started eating differently. He said he cut out mm-hmm. the McDonald's, all of that. And he said, Carlos, I just became a very different person. Was there anything like that that you did once you got to the majors in order to not just stay there, but actually become a star?
Yeah, well, first off, I think the major leagues and the schedule that goes with it changes you, right? You go from bus rides overnight and hanging out with your teammates on a bus all the time and playing cards and drinking beer on an 8-hour bus ride to we're on a plane, we play every day. Every day matters. Every day counts. These playoffs have, you know, monetary things to them. It's just bigger and badder, right? So that changes you, number one. And then I think the biggest thing in terms of what I do is learning how to scout was a huge thing from my rookie year. I did none of it on my own. I kind of listened to the pitching coaches and the catcher and just went off of their instincts because in my head, right, they knew better. They had been there a lot longer, right? And that's a huge thing for us is service time and how long you have been in the major leagues is in a lot of ways status because it's hard to stay there. And so when you stay there, people respect you, right? So that's what I did my whole rookie year was listen to the guys that have been there. And then my second year kind of learned how to take a little bit of charge of that and learn what I wanted to do, what I was good at, things like that. So those are probably the two biggest things was the schedule and the scouting.
Love that. And you know, it's interesting. I see you as a little bit of a confidence guy and that you've got a really rich set of confidence. Am I reading that right? Or are you bringing good confidence to the table? Because, you know, a lot of people would be around your boy Kershaw and they would be a little hesitant. And I don't really read you as hesitant. I feel like this is like a T.O. Jerry Rice situation where you're like, I respect the great one, but I got some stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I think for me, being confident is something that I think is only true if you've earned it, right? And you've put in time and effort. And a lot of times I think I was a little borderline arrogant just because I didn't feel like I had earned it, you know? So tried to kind of do that a little bit differently. But with Kershman, I always thought the biggest sign of respect for someone or from someone was them letting you make fun of them, right? So I just make fun of him all the time, and now that he doesn't get mad about it, I know he respects what I do a little bit. So that's always been my biggest thing. I think that's always my way of kind of breaking the ice. And you know, if you're nervous around somebody, I remember one of my favorite stories. I don't know if I can cuss on here, but it is part of the story. So David Freese, who I grew up watching and respected a lot, was on our team, and I had met him the day before. It was the next day. You know, he's a veteran guy, World Series MVP. And he was like, hey, Walk, how you doing? I was like, what's up, you piece of garbage? But I didn't say garbage. And I remember reading an article, and he said that was the moment that he was like, oh, there's something to this kid. And that's just kind of how I've always deflected all the angst off of me was kind of acting like that. So that's always kind of been my shtick, I guess, but it's worked out all right for me so far.
Now, has that ever gotten you into any fights or no?
Not fights. I think people will misunderstand it a little bit. And people will tell me that I'm a prick or whatever, but that's just how I operate. And I think the longer people are around me, the more they kind of understand that's me, you know, giving a crap about it or giving a about them. So it's just me.
Now who, because you hear about trash talking in football and in basketball a lot, who are the biggest trash talkers in baseball?
You know, it's hard because the difference is that we're never close to each other, right? So I'm always 60 feet from the guy that I'm trying to beat. So it's a little tough. I mean, we get some chirps here and there and people will say things, but it's a lot more subtle for us, I guess, because we're so far away. And if we yelled something to the other side, all the fans can hear it as well. So we can't quite get away with it the way some other sports do.
Now, Walker, play sliding doors with me for a second. What would have happened if you hadn't made it to the big leagues? Like, what would you be doing today, do you think?
Well, I was a political science major, so that was kind of the things that I always had interest in. I guess I always said I would be a lawyer. I don't know if I could have pulled that one off quite, but, you know, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it a whole lot since, you know, not having to make that decision, I guess. But, you know, I've always been interested in the agency side of our game and probably something along those lines, but you never really know.
And what do your mom and dad do? What did they do growing up?
My mom's an attorney. She has her own law firm and then my dad does some commercial banking stuff with Bank of America. So they were always kind of pushing me in a certain direction. So, you know, I was a poli sci major and then had a double minor in sociology and corporate strategy. So I tried to kind of combine what they did and hope that one of those things stuck if baseball didn't work out.
Oh, that's actually really interesting. So you could end up being a serious business person on the other side of this.
I hope I don't have to. I guess I could. You know, there's always a chance. I think I'd rather just play golf. But we'll see.
Enjoy yourself a little bit. So when you think about your opportunities right now, what's it like when you go from small town guy, everyone knows he's a good baseball player, but now you're World Series champ, people know you, a little famous. Has that changed your family dynamic? And how has that changed your friendship dynamic? I mean, everyone always says, no, everyone's still the same, but is that true? Or do people treat you differently now?
You know, I'd like to think that I'm pretty much the same as I've always been. I think maybe when I talk to people, I kind of have a little bit more to back it up. But no, you know, things at home are pretty similar for me. To be honest with you, I get bothered less at home than I do in LA, which is understandable. It's Los Angeles and our fan base is wild and we love it. But no, Lexington is still home and we still love it there. So no, things are good.
And talk to me a little bit about your friends who didn't make it from like Vandy, because you went to college, you didn't come out of high school and go right to the league. You went to college, you guys obviously won and did well there. What are those guys doing? Like, what are they up to?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. I don't remember how many guys we had in my class drafted. I think it was 6 or 7, but not many of them are. Most of them are still playing, still trying to make it. We've got a couple guys in the major leagues. Dansby Swanson, the shortstop for the Braves, was my grade, and Carson Fulmer, who's spent some time in the big leagues with a few teams now, and then a lot of other guys are kind of on the cusp or they're at home and doing stuff, you know, outside of baseball. But you know, I think that was one of the biggest things about going to Vanderbilt for a lot of us was, if this doesn't work out, I think most of us felt pretty confident in what we could do after the game with a Vanderbilt degree. So some guys doing some medical sales and things like that. I actually went and watched one of those surgeries one time. I always thought I could do that. I cannot do that. I almost threw up in there.
Uh-oh, okay. That is interesting. I'm not a blood guy necessarily myself. Have you ever, I guess you had the one surgery. You haven't had anything gruesome happen to you yet, have you? Have you had any bad injuries?
No, I lost a nail on my throwing hand when I was about 13, which was not pretty to look at. You could see the bone in there. It was kind of gross, but they made me pitch with a big plastic thing on my hand for a whole year, but that was the thing.
Now talk to me a little bit about what you do outside of baseball. Are you an all baseball, all the time kind of guy, or do you what do you do in your spare time besides golf? I think I hear golf is part of your world. But what else do you do with your time?
Not a whole lot. We do our charity event, which is golf based, so we work on that a fair amount. But it depends on where we're at. I do some duck hunting back home in Kentucky. It's something that my fiance's brother and I have gotten really into. So we'll do that in the winter when you can't play golf. But no, we just kind of hang out, man. During the season, there's not a whole lot to do, obviously. And we're at the stadium from about 1 to 11:30 every day. And so the other times you're just trying to eat and kind of relax a little bit. But, we get our off days, we hit the beach or something like that, I guess.
And what's the clubhouse like? I mean, do you guys just horse around in there? Are you guys talking politics? I know you were a political science major. Are guys like talking Bitcoin? Like what are guys doing in the clubhouse?
Yeah, you have these little cliques, right? You got these certain guys that love Bitcoin. I remember they were talking about the NFTs and all this stuff the other day, and you just kind of walk away if you don't want to talk about it, right? But no, there's some cards that are played. You know, that's a big part of it. Last year was weird. A lot of the little routines that we have, like that playing cards before the game and sitting and eating and stuff like that, we couldn't do, right, because of COVID. So. Well, I'm interested to see if those kind of get pushed back into the fold. We usually have a big ping pong tournament during spring training, and they took the table from us. So no ping pong for us this year or last year, which kind of stinks.
All right. Now, what about travel? Do you are you an Airbnb guy? You ever travel a little bit, go anywhere good?
Yeah, we do a little bit here and there. Last year we did Nashville a couple times. We had a couple weddings down there, but we've done Cabo a few times. We like it down there, and we've got to plan this honeymoon coming up this next year. So that's kind of the big one, I guess.
Now, how did you meet your fiance? How did you guys meet each other?
So we probably met in kindergarten. To be honest with you, we went to school kind of all the way through together, and became a thing probably when we were sophomores, I'd say. So we've been together a long time.
Oh, you're doing the Pat Mahomes thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now I just need his contract.
I have a feeling that that's coming. So you guys, so you don't have any nerves then, because you guys have known each other forever. Your families have known each other forever. Was it a certainty kind of going back to high school and college you guys were going to get married, or did you guys waver for 2 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, we did the long distance thing. She graduated from Kentucky, so I was about 3 hours away. So obviously there's some stuff that comes with that and whatever. But, we've grown up together and I guess are ready to kind of spend the rest of our lives together. So, it feels like we kind of already have in a lot of ways, but we'll make it official here in December.
That is so interesting. I mean, I guess you kind of are a small town guy, because that is almost a small town America story. You meet your sweetheart in kindergarten. You grow up in a small town, make it to the big leagues. So, how have you liked LA? Like, do you enjoy LA being in the big city, or if you had your druthers, would you be Brett Favre and would you be back in Lexington or back somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, if Lexington could get a big league baseball team, I wouldn't mind playing for them, right? But no, we love LA. I think my fiance and I both have always kind of been interested, I guess, in what else is out there, right? And to see some other parts of the world or the country. And Los Angeles has treated us well. We love living out there at least part of the time. And, the cool thing about our schedule is we get to spend, 4 months at home as well. So it's kind of best of both worlds for us.
And then what about her? What would she love to do? How is she thinking about her next 5-10 years? Because I imagine you've got a vision of what's going to happen with the Dodgers, but where's her head? Where's her heart?
Yeah. Trying to have a couple little ones, I think is first on the to-do list. But, she works for a small boutique at home and does a lot of their social media stuff. And enjoys that. So I'm sure she would love to have her own little spot. I think maybe in a few years we'll be able to do something like that.
Nice. Now, Walker, who's the most interesting person you've met since you've become a major leaguer? Because I assume once you're a major leaguer, World Series champ, you're in LA, all sorts of interesting people cross your paths. Who are two or three of the most interesting people you've met along the way over the last few years?
I guess I'll kind of break. So teammate-wise, I would say Russell Martin is probably one of the more interesting guys I've been around. Canadian guy, played for us for a long time. Went and played in Toronto and then came back to us. So he was a good one to have around and learned a lot from him, just kind of how he's lived his life. And you know, that's a special guy that we got to be around. I'm trying to think. I've gotten to meet a few people. I haven't gotten to hang out with a bunch of them. Theo Vaughn is a buddy of mine. He's a comedian that I really enjoy and have gotten to meet a couple of his buddies through him. And got to go to the Comedy Store and watch him perform, which was pretty cool. That in LA was a big deal before all the shutdown. So, you know, hoping that gets back up and running so we can go over there again.
And what about music? What kind of music do you love?
You know, I'm weird with music. Everyone always makes fun of me, especially, you know, my family and my fiance, because I'm a guy that I'll find four songs that I like. And I don't think I've added a song to my Spotify in 6 months. I just listen to the first eight songs all the time. But we're big country people. Brett Eldridge is a buddy of mine through his brother that I know well. And we really like some of that stuff. And then I walk out to Rage Against the Machine. So that's another spectrum of it. And then, you know, some of the kind of rap stuff. So I'm kind of all over the board, but I listen to the same things over and over. I wish I had a little bit more music taste, but that's just not my suit.
All right, what's your karaoke song? If you were doing karaoke at the ESPYs, what would you do?
I don't even know if I have any clue what I've ever even sang on karaoke. It takes me a lot of liquid courage to get up on a karaoke bar, I think.
Now, talk about yourself as a hitter. How do you rate yourself as a hitter? We see more and more of you pitchers do a little bit at the plate. How do you rate yourself as a hitter?
Yeah, I'm really, really, really bad. I would never tell anyone except for you that, but I'm really bad. It's hard, man. These guys are really good, and I'm not very good at it. But I hit one home run. And if they take the hitters, they put the DH in and don't let us hit, at least I got the one. You know, we talk about it a lot, the starters, about things we've got to accomplish this year because we're going to lose it, we think. So a stolen base is up there on a lot of guys' list. But you got to get on base before you can do that. And that's kind of the toughest part for me is even touching it.
Do they bring in a different kind of, I don't know what to call it, but kind of motivational speakers or psychologists or coaches from other sports or players to come in to talk to you guys?
We've got a couple, you know, mental skills coaches, things like that. To be honest with you, professional baseball is a little less than you would think in that way. It's super individual, right? Starting pitchers, we go out there once every 5 days. Guys have their own jobs, and kind of the hoorah stuff doesn't really – at least for us, isn't a big factor, right? It's we have jobs to do and things like that. It's less about, you know, going to war than it is about doing your job, and that's fine. That's our game, obviously. You know, I think the emotion stuff, a lot of people have talked and asked me about, you know, the young guys playing and throwing your bat and all that stuff, and I think they kind of go hand in hand, and something that maybe we'd like to get a little bit more into our game. But you know, you have a lot of the motivation stuff and all that in college. That's a huge, huge part of the college game. And maybe that'll leak a little bit over into ours.
Interesting. And so who among all the players, not just who's seen as the best player, but the player, like if all the other major league players are around, like they gravitate towards that person, like who's that guy in Major League Baseball that if you guys are at training camp or what have you, like everybody would move towards that one person. Who's that person?
You know, everyone wants to talk to Clayton. I think that's a big one. Obviously, he's been a lot of guys just watch him growing up, right? How good and successful. And I think the biggest thing is everyone knows how good of a guy he is on and off the field. Mookie's another one that people will gravitate to, and Belly. Belly's a fun guy. Belly's one of the more interesting people I've been around. But you know, these guys, they get to know each other. The best players you always see meeting behind second base before games and stuff like that. So typically, if you want to know who the best players are, just look behind second base during stretch, and they'll be sitting there talking to each other.
And what happens if someone like Tom Brady comes to a game, or someone like Jeter comes to a game, or someone like, I don't know, Steph Curry? Do you guys get excited, you guys as players, to see those guys or no?
Yeah, and some guys obviously you really want to meet. You know, they'll bring in some people that we don't really know too much about sometimes, right? But, you know, over the years, Kobe came in the World Series one year, was really cool, and you know, obviously important to us being in L.A. And the big ones, Anthony Davis came and got to meet him, and growing up a U.K. guy, that was a huge deal for me. So I had a U.K. shirt. I don't know if you know who Tyler Hero is, I imagine.
Of course, yeah.
The big thing, I guess it was Mississippi State. He made the free throw and told the guy he was a bucket. So I had a shirt that says I'm a bucket on it, and wore that the day that AD came in and got to meet him and get a picture with him. So that was pretty cool for me.
Man, I love that. I love that. Hey, talk to me a little bit about you in college, because I saw your old high school coach talking about how good a student you were and what have you. Was politics something that you were serious about, or was that just something you studied?
No, you know, my favorite teacher that I had in high school was my political science teacher. And so I think that was kind of always the, well, I'll just do this, you know, I guess. But no, I enjoyed it. I don't get too deep into it anymore. I don't want to engage in it really. It's hard these days, you know, but I would say I was one of the least political poli-sci majors of all time.
Okay. And this past season, did the guys in the clubhouse talk about it, or is that like religion and politics are off the table and people didn't really about the election?
A lot of the times that stuff is kind of, you know, you just avoid it if you can, right? But then we have some situations like last year in the, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and things like that we needed to address as a team. And you know, guys speak up and speak their mind. We have, you know, we had a big team meeting and decided not to play a game in San Francisco, which was the right thing to do, I think. And you know, we handled it as a unit. And that's the way you have to do it, or else it's gonna break you. That, you know, there's gonna be guys on opposite sides of every single issue. If you dropped every issue in the middle of the clubhouse, there wouldn't be a single guy on one side of the on you know, the same side of everything. So you know, we kind of air it out and make decisions and move forward.
Love that. Hey, tell me a little bit of one of the things we talk a lot about on the show on is dreaming fearlessly, because you've actually realized your dreams. You brought them alive, but you know, for lots of people that doesn't happen for whatever reason. What's the best advice, Walker, you've either gotten or given to people about how to not only dream fearlessly, but bring those dreams alive?
You know what I think is interesting? Obviously, you know, playing in the big leagues is something that I always wanted to do, right? And I don't know if I would quantify it as a dream. I think for me, that was just the plan until somebody told me it wasn't. So I think the biggest thing for me was always just trying to check the box to get to the next thing and then do it again and do it again and do it again. And you know, that's probably my weird psychology of compartmentalizing it and, you know, taking it day by day. And there's all these cliches, but in a lot of ways for me, that is how I operate. You know, be good enough in high school, do the things that colleges want to see, right? Get the grades so that you can get into the school, things like that. Then, when you're in college, get bigger, stronger, get better, do what the pro teams want to see, right? Then you get into pro ball, do what your pitching coaches want to see. You know, I think for me, it was those little little nuggets of things that I was just trying to check every box and move on. And, you know, luckily it's worked out for me, but, you know, I think being 6'1", 150 pounds as a senior in high school, playing in the big leagues wasn't the expected outcome, right? But, you know, you put on a little bit of weight and get better and keep progressing, then things like that can happen.
Interesting. So would you say that you have a dream? I love hearing you say that, no, it wasn't a dream, it was a plan. Would you say that you have a dream?
Yeah, I mean, I have an idea of what I want to do after I play, right, or the life that I want to live. And if baseball is a means to that, then there are certain things I have to accomplish to create that kind of income, right? Like that, it sounds kind of a little bit cold, but that's the way that it is, you know? So, you know, I want to own some horses and go and play golf and do that and live that kind of life. And if I am good enough and continue to be good, then I have a chance to do that, right? So, I wouldn't classify myself really as a dreamer. I just grew up seeing people that I thought were successful and watching the life that they live and then am trying to create that for myself.
Hey, I want to finish up here with a little bit of rapid fire. I want to hit you with about a half dozen quick ones and see what you can handle. All right. You're known for having several good pitches. What's your best pitch?
My fastball.
Fastball is definitely your best. Who's the best hitter you've ever faced?
Charlie Blackmon hits me better than anyone.
If you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, in or out of baseball, who would you have dinner with?
Tiger Woods, probably.
Tiger Woods. Interesting. Your favorite movie of all time?
The Departed, probably.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Who should play you in a movie?
Oh, this is my favorite answer. Matthew Broderick. I have to say, there's no other way.
I love that. Love it. Have you ever met Broderick before?
I have not. I need to, though. They did do a cool bobblehead. I gotta get one. We can probably send it to him. They did one of me in the little Ferrari, which is kind of funny.
You got to do that. Your favorite book of all time?
I don't know. I'm like two-thirds of the way through a book about Nirvana that I like. I forget what it's called. I think it's Come As You Are, but I'm not 100% sure.
Love that. Last time you were afraid of something?
Probably the World Series. That, you know, I think there's different kinds of fear, but that was probably the biggest fear of failure that I've had in a while.
Best Airbnb you've ever done?
Marina Del Rey, probably my rookie year. I had a cool little loft that I liked, and I think that was the first time I actually felt like I was in the big leagues, probably.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Last question. Even for people who think they know you well, what would surprise them to know about Walker Buehler?
I don't know. I think probably just that I didn't expect kind of all of this, right? I'm still, you know, I'm pretty proud of where I am and who I am and things like that. But I think for me, I was kind of always waiting on it not to work. I think I've always kind of been that way and a little bit on the more pessimist side of things. And luckily, no one's told me I'm not good enough yet. But I think I've been expecting that call for a long time and just haven't got it. So I think I'm probably a little bit more negative and hard on myself than people that even know me really well really understand.
Does that drive you think, to work harder, to train differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think it that fear of failing, right, or that fear of that phone call, I think less for me. It's not the training or the lifting, or I don't sit there in between sets of squat and say, oh, you're not good enough, right? That's just not how I work. But I think for me, on a 3-2 pitch, trying to be convicted, I think that's where that stuff rears its head a little bit, less so in the preparation and more so in the performance for me.
And with that 3-2 pitch, do you in the end, you think, deliver your best? Or do you think that fear that you may not be good enough, does that sometimes cause you to flutter a little bit?
No, I think for me that the fear is great, right? The anxiety is great. If you look at kind of the regular season and the playoffs, in the bigger moments, I've seemed to have been better. So I think for me that kind of grandness to a stage or whatever makes that fear even bigger, right, in your head, and that adrenaline dump higher. And I think preparation and working out and things like that are all to handle adrenaline, right? And so I feel like I've learned kind of how to do that for myself. But yeah, I think fear drives all of that. You don't get adrenaline without the fight or flight, and learning how to handle that and direct it the right way, I think is a huge part of our game.
Walker, I really appreciate you being here, and it's going to be fun to watch you this next season. Looks like you got a little bit of help. Not that you guys needed it, but it looks like you got a little bit of help.
Yeah, we should be all right.
Hey, well, I'm really glad that you came on the show. It's good to meet you. Congratulations. Tell your mom I enjoyed seeing her on that hometown series. Looks like I had a great mom. Looks like you ended up with a good mom. So tell her I enjoyed seeing her.
Everybody, I appreciate you having me on. We'll see you later on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Carlos Watson Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell your friends to find us on the iHeart Podcast app or Apple Podcasts.